Czernowiec, Creel 4. You didn't go to the concentration camp.
No, we didn't go to the concentration camp. We've seen it from quite a distance, but we've known that it was there. And we were taken into a place where there were quite a lot of barracks, actually. We were given some... What were we given? I don't know. I think that they must have taken our clothes to be disinfected. And then we were given the barracks. And we stayed there. And somehow, it wasn't as bad as we expected it. I don't think so. The thing which was upsetting us, for example, they asked us to go and have a bath. So we went to the huge place, and the water was coming from in the showers. And we were, obviously, we undressed, and the two Germans guard came with us. God only knows why. But they stayed. They were fully dressed, and they inspected us. But I mean, well, we were upset at the beginning, but afterwards we just didn't take any notice. We started to wash ourselves, and that was that. And it was quite a way from the original barracks, so we just had to go there from one place to another.
Had the women been separated from the men?
Yes, yes.
So only the women at Bergen-Belsen?
No, they were men also. There were men across the road, so we've seen them across the road, and we were able to talk to them, actually. So they stayed over there, and we stayed over there. I was in a camp which was actually provided for the officers. So it was an OFLAG.
Did you have the rank of officer?
Yes.
What rank did you have?
Second lieutenant. We all had it because of the function what we've had. And then, well, would you like me to tell you how the life in
the
camp was going
please,
on?
Please.
Now, we managed somehow to organize ourselves pretty well. But I look at it back now, and I think that it wasn't so bad as it could have been. Really, because obviously we were not treated in such a way like the concentration camp was treated. There was quite a difference. It was quite a difference because we were allowed to do whatever we really liked, I mean, with our time, because we haven't been working, because it was an OFLAG, not the STALAG. So, as I said, we organized ourselves and we started to do the teaching courses. For example, about five languages were taught at that time. We had the very interesting discussions because all the persons who were in that camp, they were educated, actually. We only had a couple of people who were young, very young, and they were treated like a servant, really, you know, but it was just fictional thing. We treated them very well, but in that way, they were admitted to the OFLAG, not taken to the STALAG, because they were quite young. And we meet them now, and they remember it all, how it was. And we had, at this camp, we had two rooms which were given to us, to the medical people, as a little hospital. And we worked there, so we had myself and my two friends had a little bit more comfort, shall we say. But on the other hand, my other people who were in this camp, they didn't work at all. But we did, because we volunteered to do the work, medical work. So we attended to the people who were poorly. We looked after them. We were organizing also the courses for the people in case they need to go to life again. In other words, we were trying to keep our spirits up, and we succeeded. There was quite a few incidents which were unpleasant. I don't remember any of them. But I know they were, obviously, with such a group of people, you always do find something like this. We organized a theater. We sang quite a lot. We were very, very hungry. That was the most difficult thing to bear. And we were also cold, because they didn't let us to have the stoves in the rooms, or whatever you call it. And they were only sporadic little stoves, and we were able to gather the wood. We were allowed to go outside the camp to gather the wood and bring it back again. So that's how the life looked in this particular camp. We ourselves, we didn't have a lot of trouble from Germans. Whenever there was any need to take us to the proper hospital, which was in Erfurt, we were taken there. We were sent there for the people who needed the hospital or dental treatment. And once, I remember, I myself and Bronka, one of this friend of mine who was a Finnish doctor, an accomplished doctor, we went to a German hospital with the group of wounded, or not wounded, but with the patients. And when we came back, we found out that in the meantime, there was a terrible that happened. There was a terrible thing happened. The American bombers bombed the camp. They killed one and wounded quite a lot. And it was a terrible situation, really. So we missed it. So I wasn't at the time when it happened, but I knew it happened. I was there, and I was there when we had the funeral of that girl who was killed. And the German made a lot of pomp with it. You know, they attended, they brought the flowers because the American killed the girl. And her name was Rucek. Anyhow, that's how she was called. And another one lost her foot, and there were a few wounded after this. So, and it was in German press all over, and then he brought it to us to show us how the American bombed the camp. So, and after that, you know, the life started again. We just lived through that funeral and through the situation what happened then. But it just, the life came back again to the normal, more or less normal, normal rhythm in this particular camp in Bergen. Then suddenly, around about Christmas, they informed us that we are going to go to another camp. So we took our possessions. We didn't have a lot of time to do it. We didn't have a lot of possessions to come think about it. And then we were packed again into the cattle trucks. And it was terribly cold. And we were going, God only knows where. We were going and going and going. And we had a tiny little stove in the middle of that truck. We didn't have anywhere to sit only on the floor. We were packed in. And the train stopped in the middle of nowhere because we wanted to go to the toilet, you know. So they let us go out. And they gave us a little bit of hot water and just a tiny little bit of bread. And we traveled one day and one night, and then we still didn't know where we were going. And the Christmas Eve came, and when we were let out once in the forest, we got ourselves a tiny little bit of Christmas tree. And we brought the Christmas tree into the truck, and we started to sing the carols. And then from somewhere we had a little bit of bread. It's not a bread, actually, it's a wafer. And we've got the custom in Poland that we are actually greet each other with breaking this wafer. And we started to do that among ourselves. And the guard was standing there. And then we didn't know what to do. And then we came to the conclusion that this is a day of the year that we've got to do it and to offer it to the Germans. So they took it quite a lot of grace. And they took their perhaps often they, you know, they showed some kind of respect for what we are doing. And anyhow, they understood and they appreciate our gesture that we wanted to do it with them in that particular day. And we were standing and sitting there and we were singing the carols. And it was a beautiful night. The moon was out, full moon was out. And at one point, they opened the door a little bit, you know, and the sentry, is that what you call it?
Yes.
The sentry was standing there, you know, and he took his helmet off and he started to say something in German to us. And then we started to shout, for God's sake, translate, because we don't know what he was talking. And there was one woman who was a translator, and she started to translate it. She said like that. He says that he is asking our forgiveness for what Germans are doing to us. He doesn't know where they are taking us. He doesn't know what's going to happen to us. But he is asking for himself and for his family for our forgiveness. So that was quite a courageous thing, because it was 1944 yet. So there was still a little way to go. Anyhow, I still remember that. And, well, we continued with our journey. And then, finally, we arrived into some kind of a camp again, which was called Molsdorf. And then, in that camp, we've seen quite a lot of other friends who were already there from different parts of Germany. Because that, obviously, that Molsdorf was much bigger than Bergen-Belsen. And they decided to gather us together. That was near Erfurt. And then we started life again. We started to organize ourselves. We got the thing, this. And then we started to go on the same way as we did in the other one. But by this time, the war was coming to an end. And the Germans, quite a lot of people who were looking after us, interested in the fact that we are going to give them the good certificate about their good behavior. So they tried to be very good to us, much, much more good than they would have been otherwise. Anyhow, when we stayed in that airport, quite a lot of people, as I say, that this camp was much bigger, so there were more patients to us to look after. And at one point, we had to take them to Erfurt, because there was not enough of facilities in Molsdorf to look after them, and we were given a barrack near Erfurt's big hospital, because there was a big hospital in Erfurt. And Bronka, that one of the doctors, and myself, I volunteered to go, and we went together with the group of patients to that particular barrack and to stay near Erfurt. And the Easter was coming. When we were in that barrack, we had quite a lot of work to do, because the bombing was on, because the Americans were coming and bombing us mercilessly. So we had to carry all the patients really from this barrack to the hospital, and it was quite a way, and we had to carry them. Some of them were too ill, then we stayed with them, but anyhow, that's how it was. And during the Easter, I don't know from whom, I got an egg, one egg. And I was ever so pleased with myself, and I put that egg on the shelf, and the blasted Americans came and started to bomb. And what happened? I've seen that egg, boom. So that was a great tragedy at that time. But anyhow, and this is a time when I didn't feel very well. I think to myself, my God, I survived the uprising, I survived the whole town. Will I die from American bombs? I didn't want very much. But it was a terrible, terribly, terribly difficult time. Because this particular bombing was horrible. At this time, I didn't go to the hospital because I had to stay with the ill patients. And it was that was the time when I was frightened. But I survived this as well. Then, it was April, later on in April, around about maybe 10th of April or something like that, somehow they decided that we've got to finish that barrack altogether, and we're going to transfer ourselves to this hospital. And that was the night when actually American came. And the night was very difficult because the Germans who were in hospital, they were quite frightened. And they behaved in a very difficult way because some of them, they were drunk. So it was difficult to control them. They were just doing, they were, one of them wanted to shoot me, but somehow I managed to tell him not to do it. And he just, I somehow, because he was drunk, he just changed his mind. But he could have done it. And around about 5 o'clock in the morning, I remember it very well, the door was open and the dawn was on at the time and the sun was coming on, and then I saw the silhouette of one American GI or whatever you call it, and then he was chewing the gum and holding the gun like that. One, anybody speaks English? And it was quite a time before a lot of other Americans came, and he was the only one who came. I don't know, and I had another friend who was speaking English very well, and she started to talk to him. And then, after about maybe 10 minutes, some more Americans came in, and we were liberated. And then we were taken by the Americans, and they started to fuss about us and this, that, and that. But, and they gave us the meal, absolutely magnificent meal. That was in the garden, I remember, and they put everything, and we were quite hungry. But we managed to behave ourselves and not to eat too much. But I can remember where they were giving us the food, they were insisting that we were going to have it, and we said, no, thank you very much. So you know what they've done? They had a big cans like that of fruits, beautiful fruits, and we went half empty, and they emptied it into the waste basket, paper basket. We couldn't look at it. We just could not look at it. I still remember there were peaches. All over. There were such a wasteful lot. And because we were so hungry, it was painful to look at it. But that's quite a different chapter, I should imagine, when we were liberated by them. I don't think that you would like to hear about it, would you?
How did you come to Britain?
That was another story. I mean, my mother was in Britain. And we were actually taken to a great big camp somewhere in Brussels. It wasn't a camp, it was a great big place, a hangar of some kind. And then we were all prisoners from everywhere, ex-prisoners of war from everywhere. And that's where I met my husband, actually, in that place, in Brussels. And because my mother was in England, so was Ireland's mother, that friend of mine. She was in England as well. So we were actually wanted to go to England. But as I said, I met my husband, and we missed one transport that was provided by us because we went somewhere. And we stayed in Brussels for a little bit longer, and then we got married. And then I went to England. But to come for good to England, we come for after quite a long story what happened to me afterwards. After I've been married, my husband was acting as an actor, because he was actually engaged by the Fryderyk Jarosik, who was a very good actor, Polish actor from before the war, and he was organizing a theater that was going around the Polish troops that were still in Germany. And then my husband joined that theater, and he became an actor. And he was going around with that theater to Germany, to Meppen, to everywhere. But somehow they decided to go to Italy, because then General Andres was there, so they wanted to go and join them. And there was a question that there is nobody who is not an actor can go with them. The fact that I was his wife didn't make any difference. That I was pregnant didn't make any difference. I still wasn't allowed to go. So what happened? I became an actress. And I was an actress. I was singing in this review or whatever it was. And I am terribly out of tune usually, but nevertheless, I was. And then the time came when the theater, with all of us, came to England in September 1946. No. That was the end of the theater and the end of career of this.
I think there are one or two things that we've missed from the early part in relation to the rising and so on.
Yes. For example, there was you asked me how close I was to death. I was close to death many times during the day. I don't know how many times, but there were some occurrences which are more vivid in my memory than the others were. For example, I remember that was in Old Town at the beginning, so it wasn't so bad at the very beginning, and then I was called out not to a wounded person but to an ill person. As a doctor, I was called. So I went and I examined her, and she had the trouble with her gallbladder. So I just said whatever I had to say, and I explained it to the husband what has to be done or whatever has not to be done. And I was talking to him, and I went out from this particular house. And while I was going out, the bomb came and just completely annihilated the house. And I looked, and it was quite flat. And well, I didn't think for a minute that there was something, that we can do something for this person who stayed behind. And he started to shout, "Start to dig, please, start to dig, 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 dig." And we started to dig. And you know that we are completely unharmed. I don't know how it happened. It must have been that the bricks or whatever, they just made them put themselves in such a situation, in such a thing that they didn't, that nothing happened to her. So that's these are some kind of occurrences that I remember. And from that time, I always started to dig whatever happened whenever there was, and there was the houses were coming down. For example, we had to save the houses that were on fire. And what happened? We had to bring the water from downstairs. If fire was on the first floor, we had to bring the water from downstairs, and we gave it to each other, you know. And the people who were more able, and I was very able at that time, so we were going on the first floor or on the roof, and we started to pour the water on the flames. But as soon as that started, the Germans were coming back because they knew what happened, and then the planes were coming back, and they started to shoot us out to prevent us from saving that house. And once it happened that it must have been on about third floor. And I was on the third floor, I went up there. And my friends were downstairs, I don't know why, but I got myself left behind. They all came down and I was on the top. And by the time I was there, the German plane came and he started to go and shoot at me. And I was going around the chimney. And I somehow hid myself against him. And they were laughing. They were honestly laughing. So this is probably some kind of self-defense, not to go crazy. The German just gave it up. I came down and they laughed.
Were both these incidents in the Old Town?
Yes. Oh yes, that was in the Old Town. And what happened, for example, I've forgotten to tell you something which happened quite often, it was terrible, that when the Germans advanced towards our barricades, for example, and we started, or our boys started to shoot, so Germans put the civilians in front of the tanks, and they've done it over and over and over. And it was very, very difficult to shoot, but they had to carry on shooting. They were trying to shoot over them or whatever, but it was a terrible thing. And they've done it. They were absolutely merciless.
This again was in the old town?
That was in the old town. There's one thing I would like to repeat and emphasize it. We waited for help. For help in the form of arms, it didn't come. In the form of people, it didn't come. So we were in desperation in the end.